friends. My name is Justin Kane. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Children's Program. I am excited to announce our new programs for this season. Our first program, Let's Read the Bible, will help us to learn God's Word while we are reading it. And we have a new series called Unlocked. It is a devotional program for teenagers. Our next program is Children's Bible Drama. This will help us to understand more people from the Bible. And last but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will let us think about how we should live as a Christian in this world. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kane. I am the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. As we looked at Romans chapter 5 last time, we discussed what Jesus did. Jesus was born as a descendant of Adam, who was the first man. He came down for us as we were under the power of sin. Jesus came down as the second Adam and died after living a righteous life. We discussed that we were made righteous through Jesus Christ. If this is true, what should we do now? If we were born as sinners and born again as righteous people, what should we do as we live in the life that was given to us? In today's passage of Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "By being baptized, we were buried with Christ into his death." Christ has been raised from the dead by the Father's glory. And like Christ, we also can live a new life. It's true. Through Jesus Christ, we received a new life. We received everlasting life. Everlasting life does not start when we go to heaven after our body dies. Instead, it starts on earth as we accept Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says that we have been raised with Christ from the dead so that we can live a new life. What does it mean to live a new life? It means that we should live by doing things that please God instead of acting like our past, where we did things based on what our bodies wanted. Romans chapter 4, verses 12 through 13 expresses this life like this. "So don't let sin rule your body, which is going to die. Don't obey its evil desires. Don't give any part of yourself to sin. Don't let any part of yourself be used to do evil. Instead, give yourself to God. You have been brought from death to life. So give every part of yourself to God to do what is right." The word weapon can refer to many different things, one of those things being a tool or an instrument. While in a war, the word weapon might not refer to these things, when I'm doing ordinary things, it could mean a tool. As a result, we should not use our new lives as a weapon to do something unrighteous. Instead, we should use it as a tool to achieve righteousness. Have you been born again through Jesus? Now that you have been born again, are you using your new life as a tool to gain righteousness? And are you living by giving your life to God? I hope that we can live by the word of God and live to be more righteous. Now, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us so that we, who have been reborn through Jesus, can use our new life as a tool to gain righteousness. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Dylan E. from California will read the book of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Dylan Yee. I'm 12 years old and I live in California. Today I'm going to read Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Let's read the Bible. What should we say then? Should we keep on sinning so that God's grace can increase? Not at all. As far as sin is concerned, we are dead. So how can we keep on sinning? All of us were baptized into Christ Jesus. Don't you know that we were baptized into his death? By being baptized, we were buried with Christ into his death. Christ has been raised from the dead by the Father's glory, and like Christ, we also can live a new life. By being baptized, we have been joined with him in a death like his, so we will certainly also be joined with him in a resurrection like his. We know that what we used to be was nailed to the cross with him. That happened so our bodies that were ruled by sin would lose their power. So we are no longer slaves of sin. That's because those who have died have been set free from sin. We died with Christ, so we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ was raised from the dead and will never die again. Death doesn't control him anymore. When he died once and for all time. He did this to break the power of sin. Now that he lives in the power of God. In the same way, consider yourselves to be dead as far as sin is concerned. Now you believe in Christ Jesus, so consider yourselves to be alive as far as God is concerned. So don't let sin rule your body, which is going to die. Don't obey its evil desires. Don't give any part of yourself to serve sin. Don't let any part of yourself be used to do evil. Instead, give yourself to God. You have been brought from death to life. So give every part of yourself to God to do what is right. Sin will no longer control you like a master. That's because the law does not rule you. God's grace has set you free. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting me read your word. Thank you for letting your son die on the cross to save us from sin so we will be free from sin and live with you forever when we die. Let us remember to not serve sin but to serve God forever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
following program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be 2 episodes every week. Here is the first episode.
Is there an area of your life where you'd like God to dispel darkness? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. I've got to be honest with you, when I was skimming through today's devotion here, when I saw the phrase cube of darkness, I immediately was very, very interested. I hope you enjoyed this one as much as I did. It's written by Daniel Doerr and is called Light versus Darkness. When I was asked to give a devotional message to a group of high school students, I started my presentation by reading from the Bible about light and darkness. Then I held up a large, empty cardboard box and said, "There's nothing in this box, but there is something. What is it?" After a long silence, I repeated the question. One student said air. Another said God. I affirmed that air is everywhere and God is everywhere too, but there was another answer. One student finally yelled out, "Darkness!" That was the answer I was looking for. I said I would open the box and we would all watch where that cube of darkness would go. Would it float up to the ceiling or sink down and bounce off the floor? Maybe it would overpower the room, engulfing us all. I slowly opened the box. What did we see? Well, nothing. The darkness disappeared. The light overcame it. By definition, darkness is merely the absence of light. If someone brings a light into a dark room, the darkness doesn't overpower the light. Rather, the whole room becomes lighter. Throughout the Bible, God is associated with light. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, he starts by unveiling Jesus' identity as the Word, through whom all things were made. Then John says, "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." Jesus is the light of the world. God sent him to live among us, to show us what God is like, and to let himself be put to death in our place. But Jesus could not be overcome by death or sin or any kind of evil. After 3 days in a tomb, Jesus rose from the dead and returned to his followers. What they didn't realize yet was that Jesus had made a way for everyone who puts their trust in him to be forgiven. Jesus, who is the light, defeated the darkness. And through him, God has rescued us from darkness and brought us into his kingdom of light. Darkness days are numbered because Jesus will get rid of all darkness when he returns. In the meantime, he sits with us and gives us hope in the darkness. God always wins over evil. Light always wins over darkness. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed by the darkness in your life? How might it give you hope to know that Jesus is far more powerful than any darkness? Is there any area of your life where you'd like God to dispel darkness? As you and I can read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible, John chapter 1, especially verses 1 through 18, as well as Ephesians 5, 8 and 9, and 1 John 1, 5 through 9, including that verse we just read, to help keep God's word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries, and it's listener supported. Just $5 a month goes a long way to help us keep Unlocked going strong into the future. And if you'd like to donate and join the team supporting Unlocked, you can do so by checking out unlocked.org or the Giving tab in the Unlocked app. Now, be sure to check back tomorrow because you and I are actually going to continue looking at light in Following the Light. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here's the second episode of Unlocked.
Can you think of some examples in the Bible of people lamenting? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Let's face it, the last 18 months have been pretty rough, and even as things are perhaps looking a little brighter in some ways, there are still days that just look dark. Today's devotion, written by Taylor Ising, is a prayer written from days like that. It's called My Heart's Lament. Lord, I'm so tired. I spend my day moving between grief and anger and apathy and frustration and fear, and I just end up exhausted. I want to scream and cry and sleep and hide from the world, all at the same time. Why is this happening? Everywhere I turn, people are hurting. My heart breaks for them every day, and I feel like I can't do anything about it. My heart breaks for me, too. I miss my friends. I miss my family. I miss my church. I miss going about my day without the weight of the pandemic crushing me. I miss the days when I could have a conversation that didn't turn into a heated political debate within 5 minutes. I miss my innocence, back before I knew the pain and injustice that happened daily. This knowledge hurts, but I guess it's a good hurt, since it's a hurt you feel too. This stinks. Nothing about this is right. All of this, sickness, death, injustice, division, none of it is supposed to be here. What is it doing here in your good world? You created this place to be good, and it's so, so broken. Fix it, Lord. I guess you will. You've done it before. You faithfully carried your people through plagues, exile, famine, war, and persecution. And you've carried me through heartache, depression, upheaval, and so many other trials. Help me remember that, Lord. Help me to cling to the gospel, that Jesus died for the pain, the brokenness, the hurt, and he rose to bring healing. Don't let me forget the sure hope that you will return to set all things right. Once in a while, I catch glimpses of that healing, people recovering from sickness, small changes toward justice, and reconciling conversations. Let me see more of those. Let me make more of those. In the midst of this pain, let your healing, reconciling presence dwell in me and flow out of me. Or just let me rest in your strength. I don't have any left. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Lament, the practice of honestly bringing your hurts before God, is a vital part of the Christian life. God knows our hurts, and because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we can freely bring them to him in prayer. Lamenting reminds us that Jesus cares about our pain, and he's going to do something about it, either now or when he returns to make all things new. Take some time and think about your own lament. Maybe even write it down. If you want some examples, you can check out Psalm chapter 13, 38, 42, 88, or 130. As you and I can read in Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Psalm chapter 13, as well as Revelation 21, especially verses 3 through 7, to help keep God's word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries, and it's listener-supported. Just $5 a month goes a long way to help us keep Unlocked going strong into the future. And if you'd like to donate, you can do so by checking out unlocked.org or the Giving tab in the Unlocked app. Now, be sure to check back tomorrow, because you and I are going to be looking at light versus darkness. But until then, I'm Andrew Stevens, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life. Savior.
Coming up next is Children's Bible Drama.
Hello everyone, it's June from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. The Midian king Zeba and Zalmunna fled from Israel and arrived in the region of Karkor. They were at ease when Gideon suddenly attacked and captured them.
You have tormented our people for the past 7 years. Today, you will be punished.
Gideon and the 300 soldiers dragged Zeba and Zalmunna and began to return to their land. While they were going, Gideon arrived in Succoth, where the people didn't help him or believe his word about chasing after Zeba and Zalmunna.
These people in Succoth did not believe that we would capture Zeba and Zalmunna. I will show them Zeba and Zalmunna before their eyes and prove that I'm right.
While Gideon was having this thought, a young man of Succoth was walking down the path. Gideon took him and found out who the officials of Succoth were.
Hurry and tell me who the officials of Succoth are and where they live. If you don't, you will face death.
Yes, yes, I will tell you everything.
From that young man, Gideon found out the names of the 77 Succoth officials. He took those names and entered the Succoth village.
When I told you I was chasing after Zeba and Zalmunna, you mocked me. Also, when these 300 soldiers were exhausted, you didn't give them any bread or water. Look over here. You mocked us, but just as we said, we captured Zeba and Zalmunna. Since I have captured Zeba and Zalmunna, I will punish you with desert briars and thorns just as I promised.
Gideon punished the 77 officials of the city with desert briars and thorns and brought judgment upon them for not believing his word and mocking him. Also, he went to the nearby town of Peniel and destroyed their towers and killed the people. Gideon, who was once full of fear, had gained courage. He not only killed his enemies, but his own people as well. This was a very sad thing. Gideon brought judgment upon those who didn't believe him and mocked him. Now Gideon interrogated Zeba and Zalmunna.
In the past, you have killed us Israelites in Tabor. Do you remember? Tell me how the faces of the people you killed looked like.
Now that I think about it, the people I killed looked a lot like you.
Now you recognize them. The ones you killed were my brothers. Today, I will get revenge on behalf of my brothers!
In the past, Ziba and Zalmunna killed off all of Gideon's brothers and Gideon's village. At that time, Gideon fled and was the only one who lived. Today, Gideon was able to get revenge on Ziba and Zalmunna who killed his brothers. However, Gideon shouldn't have a personal revenge. Gideon should have brought judgment upon Israel's enemy, just as God commanded, but he was getting his personal revenge. Furthermore, Gideon commanded his oldest son, Jether, who was still a young boy, to kill Ziba and Zalmunna for his own revenge.
Jether, they are the ones who killed your uncles. Hurry and kill them with your sword!
Father, I'm scared.
Ziba and Zalmunna spoke as they saw Jether, who was too afraid to lift his sword.
Gideon, I am the king of a nation. How can I be killed by the hand of a young child? Kill us with your hand.
Gideon arose, took out his sword, and brought judgment upon Ziba and Zalmunna. The Israelites cheered as Gideon brought judgment upon Ziba and Zalmunna and saved Israel from the hands of Midian. Then they asked Gideon to be their king.
Gideon, you are exceptional. You have amazing abilities. Please become our king and protect us.
What kind of decision did Gideon make at the people's request of wanting him to be their king? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
Do you have any older brothers or sisters? Heart and Soul has a new devotional program for teenagers called Unlocked. If you have older brothers and sisters, help them spend time in God's Word with Unlocked Devotional from Keys for Kids.
Bibling is a program, daily devotional, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we will listen to Monday through Friday's daily devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's daily devotional.
I wish Mom could have come with us. When will she get better? She's been sick for months and months.
I'm sorry to hear about your mom. Keep praying for her and trust God to do what's best for your family. Hi, I'm Zach, and this is Keys for Kids. Have you been worried during the COVID pandemic this last year? If you watched all the news, it sounded pretty scary, didn't it? Whenever bad things happen, it's important to remember that no matter what, God is still in control, and He wants to help you when you're afraid and worried. In 1 Peter 5:7, Peter writes, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Our story today is called Worth the Effort. Aaron and Aria, along with their father, watched a fisherman on the pier carefully arrange his big green net. Then he made a sudden motion, and the net glided out over the Gulf of Mexico. "That's quite a skill you have there," Dad told the fisherman. The man chuckled as he pulled the dripping net back in. "Casting a net takes a lot of practice, but the mullet fish I'm after tastes so good, it's worth taking the trouble to learn how to do it." Aaron, Aria, and Dad watched a little longer, then continued their walk along the sparkling gulf. "I wish Mom could come walking with us," said Aria sadly. Mom had not been well for some months and had stayed at the motel to rest. "When will Mom get better, Dad?" asked Aaron as they walked along. Dad put an arm around each of his children and held them close. "I don't know, and the doctors don't know either, but I know something we can do." "What can we do?" asked Aria eagerly. Seeing that fisherman cast his net out over the water reminded me of a different kind of casting. "The kind we need to do," Dad replied. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you." So we need to keep praying for Mom, and then we need to give our worries to Jesus. "I try to do that," said Aaron, "but it seems like it's taking so long for Mom to get better, and I can't help worrying." "I know, but don't give up," said Dad. "That fisherman had to practice casting the net, but he kept at it because he knew the prize, the fish he would catch, was so worth the effort. And we need to practice casting our troubles onto Jesus. It's also worth the effort. We're His children and can go to Him as often as necessary." "So if we start to worry after we pray, we should pray again?" Aria asked. "That's right," said Dad. "And as we learn to trust Him and cast our troubles far away from ourselves and onto Him, He has a prize for us too. He gives us His wonderful peace that only His children can know. So keep practicing, okay?" Silently, Aria and Aaron nodded. So what about you? After you pray about something, do you stop worrying about it, or do you hang on to your troubles? God doesn't want you to worry. So if the worry doesn't go away, or if it comes back, take it to Jesus again. Tell Him about it as often as necessary, and trust Him to help you. He loves you and He understands what's troubling you, and He can handle any situation. Our key verse today is 1 Peter 5:7.
Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you.
And our key thought today, cast your cares on Jesus.
Hey Zach, how do you remember that God is in control?
Hi Elizabeth, that's a great question, and it makes me think of what Moses said to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 8:2. He said, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart." So if you want to remember that God's in control, just look back to what He's done for you in the past. You could use old photos or journal entries or talk to your mom, dad, or grandparents. And then when you see what God's done for you in the past, you'll be reminded that He's still in control of the future. Thanks for asking your question, and keep listening to Keys for Kids and keep reading your Bible. I'm Zach. Thanks for spending time with Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
Ella embarrassed me in front of my friend. She knocked on a big stack of soup cans in the middle of the store.
Your sister Ella might have embarrassed you, but are you embarrassed about knowing God? Have you ever been embarrassed? If so, stay tuned to today's story right here on Keys for Kids. If you've had something super embarrassing happen to you, you know what it feels like. Once, I slipped on a patch of ice right in front of my whole class. I felt so ashamed. Some things might cause you to feel embarrassed, but you should never feel ashamed about believing in Jesus, going to church, or praying in public. In Mark 8:38, Jesus said this, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father." Our story today is called Tumbling Cans. "I need to pick up a few groceries before dropping you off at your game, Carter," said Mom as she turned in at the supermarket. "You can come in, but keep an eye on your little sister while I zip on ahead. I'll meet you at the checkout in 10 minutes. "Okay," Carter said. "Come on, Ella." He took his sister's hand as they got out of the car. "Look," said Ella when they went into the store. "Candy." "Don't touch anything, Ella," Carter warned. As they turned down an aisle, they met one of Carter's classmates. "Hey, Brad," said Carter, and the two boys started talking. Crash! Whirling around, Carter saw Ella sitting in the middle of a soup display. Cans were rolling everywhere. "Ella!" Carter yelled. "I told you not to touch!" Ella began to cry as Brad and Carter tried to restack the cans. A stock boy relieved them of the task, so Carter grabbed Ella and rushed to find Mom. That evening, Carter told Dad what happened at the store. "I was so embarrassed," he said. "I just wanted to hide. I didn't want anyone to know Ella was my sister." Ella frowned at her brother. "Carter yelled real loud at me and made me cry, so I was ashamed of him too." "So you were ashamed of each other," said Dad. "Does that make you think of the Bible verses we read this morning?" "Oh, yeah. They said something about Jesus being ashamed of us, didn't they?" Carter replied. Dad nodded. "We sometimes seem to be afraid to let people know we love Jesus. We might be hesitant to tell them we have a relationship with him because we're worried of what they might think of us. But the verses we read this morning say that if we're ashamed of him, Jesus will be ashamed of us when he comes back again. That's a sobering thought, isn't it?" "Yeah," said Carter. "When you think of all Jesus did for us, we should be glad to tell people about him, no matter what anyone thinks or says." "That's right," said Dad. "He was willing to bear the shame of the cross so we could be saved and have eternal life. We should never be ashamed of him." So what about you? Do your words and actions show that you're not ashamed of Jesus? Are you open about going to church and believing the Bible? Do you tell others about Jesus? Are you embarrassed to be known as a Christian? Someday Jesus will come back as King. Will he be ashamed of you when he returns in glory? Live each day in a way that shows others you love and follow him. Our key verse is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 38.
"If anyone is ashamed of me or my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father."
And our key thought for the day, don't be ashamed of Jesus. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Here is Wednesday's daily devotional.
"I thought the bird's wing was broken, so I tried to catch it. I was surprised when it suddenly flew away."
That sounds like a special kind of bird. He was trying to lead you away from his nest. Guess what? You're listening to the one and only Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Let's get started. Have you ever heard of a killdeer bird? To protect their babies from predators, they pretend to have a broken wing. That will distract a fox or a badger away from their nest, and when the coast is clear, the bird flies away. Did you know that God protects you too? His angels are watching over you. It says so in Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. Our story today is called Special Servants. As Evie and her brother James raced across the field, something suddenly moved in the grass ahead of them. "Oh!" exclaimed Evie, stopping in her tracks. "What is that?" James stopped too. "It's just a bird. But look, it's hurt. I think its wing is broken." They watched the bird slowly move away, dragging one wing. "Let's catch it," said James. "I bet Dad can fix its wing." He slowly walked toward the bird. When he got close, he reached for it, but the bird ran ahead, crying pitifully. "Poor thing," said James, and he and Evie both followed to try again. Several times, the kids almost got close enough to catch the bird, but each time it struggled forward, just out of reach. At the edge of the field, it suddenly flapped both wings and soared into the air. Evie's mouth dropped open. "I thought it was badly hurt," she said. When they got home, the kids told their dad what had happened. "That sounds like a killdeer," Dad said. "It probably has a nest in the grass and was leading you away from its babies." James laughed. "Well, it sure had us fooled. We thought its wing was broken." God created killdeer with the ability to protect their young in a unique way, observed Dad. "I guess so," said Evie. She grinned at her dad. "So can we count on you to go limping around and risk getting caught yourself if it will help protect us?" she teased. Dad grinned back. "Absolutely. I'm willing to do anything I can to protect you, but I'm thankful for someone else who protects you too." "Who would that be?" asked Evie. "Do you mean God?" Dad nodded. "Yes, and he uses special servants, angels, to watch over you. Can you think of any examples from the Bible where angels protected people?" "Daniel in the lion's den," James shouted, just as Evie said, "Peter in prison." "You're both right," Dad said. "It's comforting to know we have angels watching over us. But always remember that Jesus is with us at all times, too. He didn't just pretend to get hurt and protect us. He actually suffered and died and then rose again so we could be saved. And he'll always be with us, no matter what." So what about you? Did you know God has angels watching over you? They're his special servants who minister to his children. There are many stories in the Bible where God uses angels to protect people, and he uses them to protect you too. Nothing can happen to you unless God allows it. And even when bad things do happen, Jesus is with you. So no matter what circumstances you face in life, you will always have his love and protection. Our key verse is found in Psalm 34, verse 7.
The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him.
And our key thought today, angels protect Christians. I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
Why do we have to go work at the soup kitchen? It makes me tired, and it's boring. I just don't see the point.
If you're a Christian, you should show God's love to others, and that's one way to do it. Hi, it's a great day here at Keys for Kids. I hope that you're doing well. As always, I'm Zach, and as always, I'm glad that you're listening. If someone told you that they were a magician, but they couldn't do any magic tricks, would you believe them? Or if they said they were a great singer, but they wouldn't sing you any songs, would you believe that? Well, if you're a Christian, you know that you're deeply loved by God, and the Bible tells us to show that love to others. That way, they'll know we're Christians, just like Jesus said in John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Our story today is entitled, Not a Robot. "What are you doing?" Charlie asked as he stepped up behind his mom's chair. Mom clicked on a small square on the screen, the picture in it showing a house with a chimney. "I'm proving that I'm not a robot." "What?" Charlie looked from the computer to his mom. "Who thinks you're a robot?" Mom laughed. "In order to access my bank's website, I have to prove that I'm not a robot. To do that, I have to click on all the pictures that have chimneys in them." "I don't get it," Charlie said. I'm not a robot, right? Mom asked, her gaze on the screen as it came up with account information. Right, Charlie said. Well, those who run this website don't know that. Since there are robotic software programs that try to access websites to steal information, they need proof that I'm human. So they show me pictures and I have to click on ones that have chimneys in them. It's a test that's easy for humans to do, but hard for computers. Mom pushed to her feet. Are you ready to go help at the soup kitchen? Charlie nodded and walked to the door. Mom? He asked as he stuck his feet into his shoes. Why do we have to serve at the soup kitchen? Mom thought about it. I guess you could say that, in a way, we do it to prove we're Christians. Charlie stopped to look at her. Huh? The Bible talks about faith not being enough without works, his mom said. We can only be saved by trusting in Jesus, but by showing God's love to others, we provide proof that our faith is real. When we act out of love, we show others that we are Christians. Sometimes I get tired while working at the soup kitchen, Charlie said. I know, his mom touched his head, but just like clicking on all the chimneys proves that I'm not a robot, serving others shows them our faith. It shows that we are filled with love. So that others see Jesus in us? Charlie asked. Mom nodded. He proved his love for us when he died for our sins. Charlie opened the door. Let's go then, he said. I want to help others know him. So what about you? Do you have faith in Jesus? When you trust him as your Savior, he forgives your sin and makes you a new person. He fills your heart with love so others can see that he has changed you. And when you serve others and treat them with kindness, your actions show that you have faith in him. So what can you do to point others to Jesus? And if you don't know Jesus, make sure you check out the Have You Heard the Good News section on page 102 of your Keys for Kids print devotional, or go to keysforkids.org/salvation. Our key verse is John 13:35.
Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples.
And our key thought for the day, show your faith through actions. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's daily devotional.
I can't stand living in a pandemic anymore. It's been more than a year since my last sleepover.
Tough times in life are no fun, but you can rely on Jesus to carry you through. Hi, and thanks for joining me today on Keys for Kids. I've got a great story in scripture to help you grow your faith. You've probably heard of hard times in life described like a storm. It can bring fear and sadness, like waves of hopelessness washing over you. But when you're in a storm, you can trust Jesus to take care of you. Just think about a huge boulder stuck in the ground. A rainstorm will pour buckets of water on it, and wind will blow it, but it won't move. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4 compares God to a rock just like that. It says, "Trust in the Lord forever, because in the Lord is an everlasting rock." Let's listen to our story. It's called Stand on the Rock. I can't believe the pandemic is lasting this long, Jordan told her mom. I miss basketball and birthday parties and sleepovers. I don't know how much longer I can keep doing this. I understand, Jordy. So much has changed since the pandemic came to Canada. When I start to feel sad, I close my eyes and remember our trip to Okomu National Park, the first time we went to Nigeria as a family. Oh, can we look at our scrapbook from the trip, Mom? Asked Jordan. I feel better when I think about it, too. Jordan had always loved having a Canadian mom and a Nigerian dad. Getting to be part of two different cultures meant lots of great food, clothing, and experiences. Her mom retrieved the scrapbook and patted the empty spot on the couch beside her. Let's flip to the pictures from our day at Okomu first. Do you remember what it felt like to stand on this ginormous rock in the Atlantic Ocean while the massive waves crashed around us? Mom asked, pointing to the picture. Yes, I do, Jordan exclaimed. I was so nervous walking out to the rock on that swing bridge, but once I felt the rock under my feet, I felt safe and secure again. It was amazing to me how the waves all around us couldn't shake that rock at all. Jordy, Jesus is our rock, Mom gently explained. When we build our lives on Him, the difficult things that happen to us can't take away our peace or keep us from remembering His goodness. Nothing can separate us from God's love because He is the rock beneath our feet. The storms of life can't make us crumble and fall to pieces. But Mom, how do we build our lives on God? Jordan asked. Jesus said that when we hear His words and put them into practice, we are building our lives on Him, Mom replied. That means trusting Him to save us from sin. It means having a growing friendship with Him and trusting Him to provide everything we need. Jordan smiled. I'm so glad you showed me this picture today. I don't have to feel like I'm living on that shaky swing bridge anymore. I want my life to be built on the rock. So what about you? Do you ever feel like everything around you is shaking and crumbling? Are there things going on in your life that are completely out of your control? If you've put your faith in Jesus, you can stand firm on the unshakable rock that He is. Trust Him to help you through life's difficulties and give you everything you need. Build your life on the everlasting rock of Christ. Our key verse is found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 4.
Trust in the Lord forever, because in the Lord Himself, is an everlasting rock.
And our key thought for the day, Jesus is the rock. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Yeah.
have fun listening to our program today? I hope that you read the Bible often to learn more about Jesus' teachings, pray to Jesus, and praise Jesus often throughout this whole week. Until then, see you next week. Bye!